Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or are just trying to make life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes. Today I talked to Ted Gerlow, the location director of the Guelph fundraiser, The Coldest Night of the Year. Ted is a volunteer at Lakeside Hope House, the downtown-based charity wing of the Lakeside Church dedicated to combating poverty in the Royal City. It's no small task, and one that no single charity event can support alone, but since the time is right, today we're talking about Walking for Poverty and the incredible amount of work that needs to be done to help Guelph's poor, and that's the subject of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now, Guelph is an incredibly affluent city, no question, which is why it's sometimes necessary to stop and remind ourselves that there is a lot of want in our town. A lot of people, for whatever reason, just can't make ends meet, and for many of them, conditions aren't getting easier. For instance, Hope House alone helps 500 families. That's families who access the variety of services offered by just one of Guelph's many charities designed to help the poor. The mission, according to the Hope House website, is to provide tangible, compassionate assistance and to care to those in the Guelph community through immediate relief and ongoing support with the goal of a greater level of independence. No easy task, and not a cheap one, and that's where the coldest night of the year comes in. The coldest night of the year is the brainchild of Blue Sea Philanthropy in Kitchener, and it is described as a super fun, family-friendly, walking fundraiser that raises money for the hungry, homeless, and hurting in 100-plus communities across Canada. Hope House is the recipient of the Guelph-based Walk, which asks community members to team up and fundraise through sponsorships and participate in a 2, 5, or 10-kilometer walk. Since 2011, the coldest night of the year has raised over $12 million for its various charity partners nationwide. Now, the point of the coldest night of the year is to expose people to the challenges of being homeless and out in the cold, but if you have checked the weather forecast for Guelph on Saturday, then you know that that's an experience that won't be replicated this year. Still, the cause is just, and I asked Ted to come in and talk on the Politicast about the goals of the coldest night of the year, how the money raised helps Guelph's poor, and the ongoing challenges facing those that live at or below the poverty line in our fair city. I caught up with Ted Gerlow this week in studio. So Ted Gerlow, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me, Adam.
So can you explain, well, first of all, can you explain the coldest night of the year in terms of what it does and what it's about and explain your function in it?
Okay. My coldest night of the year is a walk to raise money for Lakeside Hope House in downtown Guelph. And it's a fundraiser so people can get out and raise some money. We let you walk 2 kilometers, 5 kilometers, or 10 kilometers, whatever suits you. And it's not where you get so much money per kilometer. You just raise money from your friends and family, and if you don't want to do that, there's a $25 registration fee just to come out and walk, and it's a great deal just to come out and walk around the community. We start at City Hall, and we walk for the 5 kilometer route, which is the most common route. We walk all the way down up Aramasa Road to
that's enough
to Victoria Street, and Sutherland Insurance sponsors us for the rest stop there, and people get a chance to stop and have a washroom break. And Bison Dentistry are providing some hot chocolate and Timbits, and Starbucks Coffee are providing us with coffee for refreshments. And then we turn around, walk back downtown to Hope House. We're at the corner of Cork Street and Norfolk Street in Guelph. The address is 10 Cork Street. And you stop in there, and we'll have a nice bowl of hot chili to warm you up after the walk. And it's very easy to register for the walk. It's cnoy.org, coldestnightoftheyear.org. And you can go on the website, and it gives you good instructions how to sign up and become a walker. And You can walk. You can form your own team. And if you want to walk by yourself, that's fine. Mm-hmm. The advantages we find for walking with the team is sometimes people can't raise the $150 themselves. So say somebody raises $300 and somebody else only raises the $100. Well, you know, we can shuffle the money around. So it's $150 each that the person has raised. And so that's an advantage for joining a team. We have 37 teams now already, so we're moving along quite nicely. We had originally set a goal of $100,000 and 60 teams and 400 walkers, and we're not going to hit that this year. But we're very happy. We're hoping for $58,000 to $60,000. So that's quite a good investment for Lakeside Hope House.
No, that's not chump change at all. Yes. And I think you answered all my questions, but...
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I do find it interesting, though, that the dentist office is offering sugary treats to the walkers. I think they're trying to drum up business there. I can't be sure. But in terms of... this isn't the only coldest night of the year promotion. This is what Guelph does. It's for Lakeside Hope House.
There's over 110 communities across Canada that will walk on the Coldest Night of the Year event. The event is actually run by Blue Sea Philanthropy in Kitchener. Mm-hmm. And they do all the website stuff. They buy us the toques. They buy us posters. And
they are nice toques.
Oh,
nice.
They are. They're lovely. They're reflective, too.
So, oh, excellent.
Yeah. So they do promotional material. They do a video for us and that kind of thing, posters, bookmarks to hand out to people, and all the advertising stuff that we need. And then they... You know, they run the event all across Canada, and all across Canada they'll get over $4 million this year, and the money all goes to charities that help the hungry, homeless, and hurting people, and we have a number of those here in Guelph, and on any given night you can have, you know, between 300 and 350 homeless people on the streets here in Guelph, and it's... That's a substantial amount, and
the Hope House website, it says that over 500 families are helped by Hope House.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's a staggering number to me, because, and it, I mean, it's all anecdotal, of course, but Guelph doesn't feel like some place where there's 500 families that need the help of someplace like Hope House.
And it's surprising, but there's a lot of people that live really close to the poverty line, and they can afford to pay their rent, but at the end of the month, they may not have enough food to eat.
Right.
And that's where food banks and places like our food market at Hope House really benefit people. We will have, up to 1,000 people actually coming through the food market on a given month. So that's including like all the families. There's families of 3 and 4 and that kind of thing. So, but they register, they qualify for whatever funding level they can get, and we have a point system for people who go through our food market, and then they get to walk the aisles and shop for themselves. We don't give them just a box of food. So there's a little bit of dignity in going out and selecting, whatever, what food you want to eat. So, but it's difficult to keep the shelves stocked with food, and this money that we raise in this event is going to go a long way for helping those people.
You kind of addressed it in terms of people have, you know, a roof over their heads, but, you know, they don't have money to buy enough food, or they don't have enough money to, you know, their kids need socks or something like that. So you're probably a pretty good person to ask. But in terms of what poverty looks like, in Guelph, because I, you know, you hear some people say sometimes, well, like, if you have a refrigerator, you can't be that poor. And it's like, well, you had to have somewhere to put your food if you had enough money to have food. And it just seems like poverty looks very, very different in the year 2017 than how it would have looked maybe in 1917. I think we still have that old-fashioned view of poverty that, it, you know, being poor doesn't mean you don't have a car, you know, because you have to get to what your three jobs that you're working to make ends meet, or, you know, any number of things.
Yes. And poverty has a different form. There are people, and there's various levels. There are the homeless people that I had mentioned. And, I mean, they, you know, literally, if there's no food for us to have, they walk around thinking, you know, what am I going to eat today? So there are those people, but there are others that are just getting a helping hand, and we like to think of ours as giving people a hand up rather than a handout.
Mm-hmm.
We like to think that we're trying to help them. We can help them, you know, get into different programs, find out what kind of funding may be available through them from different levels of government, and we're there to assist them in all those areas as well. So we provide the food market for them to get food. We have a clothing area where they can go in and get some clothing. We have some people that come in and give free haircuts once a week. We have some dentists that come in, and there's about 180 free dental treatments that are given each year at Hope House.
Wow.
So we do a lot of things, and we also do Christmas hampers at Christmas time. So anywhere from 250 to 300 Christmas hampers we'll hand out at. So people who may not be able to afford that turkey, they will get a turkey at Christmas. Now for the school kids, and in the fall, there's a lot of, you know, single moms out there, you know, they just can't afford that backpack for kids going back to school, and they got to take their own supplies. So we supply 1,000 donated back. People will donate backpacks to us, and we'll fill them with school supplies, and we provide that to over 1,000 kids every August, and that's just a phenomenal number of people, but. It's not like they don't work, and it's not like they don't have enough food, but, you know, school supplies, it's another burden for families. So we help out in that area as well.
It's interesting how the word, dignity has kind of become, important in terms of helping the poor. It used to be, you know, again, looking backwards, just, you know, every, you know, helping people and just, you know, donating what you can. But there has been a concerted element to stigmatize it as well, because that stigma does still exist, that, you know, if you were living in society, poor equals not being successful, poor equals being a failure in life, no matter what the circumstance that drove you there.
Yeah, and we find through studies that mental illness has a big correlation with poverty. So, and that's something that's, you know, been stigmatized for many, many years, and it's difficult to see a mental how that affects some people. So, it's hard, and we're not trying to. You know, stigmatize these people. What we're trying to do is help them, and we provide a place for them to come in. They get out of the cold. We provide them with a free cup of coffee. Sometimes we get donations from places like Costco and that kind of thing through the Salvation Army, and you know, then there'll be a muffin or a treat of some sort for them to eat as well. We do a lunch on Mondays where we show people how to make lunch, and then they make lunch for the clients that are at Hope House. And on Wednesdays, we do a major breakfast, and we can get 150 people in for our breakfasts on a Wednesday morning. So it's quite a beneficial service that we provide.
But of course, you're listing a litany of services.
Yes.
That $60,000 you're talking about raising, it doesn't sound like it's going to get far.
It won't. It doesn't. But we also do a Joy home tour, and we raised about $80,000 last year before Christmas. So that's another one of our big fundraisers, and there are other fundraisers. I'm the one that does the coldest night of the year event. I'm a volunteer. I mean, we do have a director at Hope House and two or three other full-time staff to look after all these programs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is there is a lot of work that does go on in the community, and we help with refugee programs and people that come in from all places all over the world, and you know, we can help them with food and clothing and help them get settled in. And there's a young lady from the Syrian community, and she's done her own video, and she's out fundraising for Hope House, and it's quite nice if you can find that. I can't pronounce her name, but she does. She's done this video, and she's out fundraising, and she's 14 years old, and.
Oh, wow.
She's really thankful for the fact that, you know, she had to leave her home and her school and everything in Syria and come to Canada and has gotten support and is now willing to turn around and help us raise some money. So that's been a very touching story for us.
How many volunteers are working at Hope House, would you say?
Oh, boy. Hundreds. Like,
wow.
It takes between 600 and 800 volunteers throughout the year, because most of the programs are all volunteers. So, you know, I'm retired and I volunteer there, but I volunteer 3 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to fill... You know, the nine to four hours, takes up a lot of volunteers in all the different programs. For the coldest night of the year event, I've got between 50 and 60 volunteers.
Wow.
That just to help run the event. So, I'm very blessed that we've been able to get these people and friends and family to come out and fundraise, and the community is really getting behind this, and we're really hoping that it will expand further.
Mm-hmm. How many years has the coldest night of the year been done now?
Well, we've been doing it for 5 years, and I don't know how many years it's Blue Sea's been running it, but
I meant when Hope House. Yeah, yeah.
Hope House. We've been doing it. We started in 2012.
Okay.
Lakeside Church, where I attend.
Mm-hmm.
We found that our food bank that we were running out of the church just wasn't in the right place, because we're at the north end of Guelph.
Yep.
And we went looking and found this church at Norfolk and Cork Street, and their congregation was slowing down, and we were able to purchase that property in 2012 and create the Lakeside Hope House as a separate charity, separate from the church.
Mm.
And we also then acquired a church as well for the downtown area. So, but we opened in fall of 2012, and the first fundraiser was in February of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is our fifth event, and this is the second year that I was involved. I got involved about the middle of January last year, so I kind of came in halfway.
Yeah,
they were looking for somebody, and I happened to put my volunteer application in, and they said, "Well, would you like to do this?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" And, and it's been very very interesting for me. It's been quite the experience.
Is it a well-oiled machine, having done it for 5 years, or are you still having trouble with, you know, trying to recruit volunteers, trying to recruit sponsors?
50 to 60 volunteers, you're not going to get, if you get half of those back every year.
That's right.
it's great, but, you know, we do run a good event. I mean, you're going to come out if you just come out to walk for $25, we're going to get you a toque. We've had these flashlights donated that you can wear around your neck, and they flash, and they'll be great for the kids afterwards. And you get a lovely bowl of chili at the end of your walk. So it's a nice event, and for $25, it's a great evening for you to come out and spend some time with your family. As I was saying, kids 12 and under are free. You register them, but there's no cost. For kids under 18, if they want to do fundraising, they only have to raise $75. They don't have to raise the $150. Mm-hmm. So they go to grandpa and grandma and mom and dad and get their donation and come out and participate and feel like they're contributing to the community. So that's very good.
Oh, well, I want to revisit sort of who those funds are helping for a minute, because sure. I think I remember doing an interview with the woman who runs the Guelph Food Bank, and this was about 3 or 4 years ago now, but you know, she was seeing an uptick in use at a time when the economy was doing fairly well, which you wouldn't think. You know, those two sort of different things go together. We're seeing more food bank use at a time when things are going well in the economy. So I'm wondering, in terms of from your point of view, right now, is Hope House seeing more, for lack of a better word, business in terms of people who need the help, the poor, the homeless in Guelph? Or is it steady? Is it maybe going down?
It isn't going down.
I wouldn't have thought not, but
but as far as how much it's increasing, I don't have those statistics. Mm. But I do know that Guelph and Wellington, they did a poverty study, and it's online that you can go and look at it, and it goes into great depth and detail of poverty in the area and what the needs are. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's as the population increases, so does poverty. It's mm-hmm. It's hard to explain why, but that's right. Just one of the things that happens.
I guess, you know, more people in town, less vacancies in terms of land, houses, prices go up, and the pressures become a little more pressurable.
There are people that are right living that close to the edge, and they do fall from where they are self-sufficient into areas where they need help. Mm-hmm. And quite a few people, you know, maybe they're out of job for a few months, and maybe for a few months they have to come and use the food market, and then they're back to work and working. So there's the fluctuations as well. So it's hard to determine overall, but and I can't say I'm an expert on what the study said from 2015, but I have read parts of it, and it does go into a lot of detail.
Is there something you think people don't understand about poverty and the poor in Guelph that, you know, when you hear the discussions, when you read articles in the newspaper, online or whatever, and you know, maybe read letters to the editor, people make comments online, and as someone who works on this issue on a grassroots, you know, mm-hmm. level, is there an element to poverty you don't think people understand?
I think the mental illness part of it. People don't really associate the two. And because mental illness is stigmatized as much as it is, I think that if people really understood that this is, you know, this isn't always these people, it's not their fault that they're there all the time. You say, well, why don't you go out and get a job, you know, and be self-sufficient? Well, there's many reasons why people are in the position. Yes, they've made some bad choices, but, you know, there's reasons why people make bad choices sometimes. And, you know, I'm just very blessed to work with this this organization and the mercy that is shown by Lakeside Hope House and the people who donate. I mean, we're just very thankful for everything they do.
Some people don't have the capacity to understand the choices they're making are bad either.
So. That's correct.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe before we wrap up, I do want to address one thing. The event is called the coldest night of the year, but it looks like you're going to be walking on one of the warmest nights of the year. And I think it was the same last year, wasn't it?
It was the same last year. I know there have been one or two that it has been cold. And statistically, you can only that's all they could go by. But statistically, around the third, fourth week of February is when you're going to have that coldest night of the year, weather-wise. And it's you know, so we pick that so that the walkers could get out and get a taste of the cold and understand what it's like for somebody who's homeless to have to live in that that cold weather, and you know, to line up and get their bowl of chili the way a lot of people have to line up for sure. Food. But if it doesn't work out that way, well, there's not much I can do about it. We pick it, you pick the date a year ahead of time, and we run it all across Canada, so I'm sure there's some cold weather out there someplace.
Yes, very true, because it is a nationwide event. It has to be cold somewhere, one would hope. In terms of where people can get more info or maybe look at signing up, where can people find out more info?
Again, it's the coldestnightoftheyear.org, CNOY.org, if you don't want to type out all those letters. And you can go online there and sign up, join a team. My team is Ice Cold. There's another team for Hope House, Hope Walks, if you want to walk for them. We're more than happy to help you get online, and there's numbers to call. People will help you out if you can't make your way through that website. There's people at Blue Sea that are more than happy to help you, and they'll answer all your questions. And if you join my team, I'll be notified, and I can get in contact with you and answer any of your questions as well.
And everyone's guaranteed a bowl of chili at the end, which is nice. So
yes.
Well, Ted Drulo, thanks for coming in, and good luck with the walk, and thanks for all your good work.
Oh, thank you so much, Adam.
And once again, that was Ted Drulo, the location director of the Guelph Wing of the Coldest Night of the Year. You can get in touch with him at cnoy@lakesidehopehouse.ca or 519-835-0435. And you can learn more about the fundraiser at cnoy.org or follow the hashtag CNOY17. And that's all for this week's Guelph Politicast. The theme music for Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host of the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. There is also a Guelph Politico Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we'll have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.